Now, Mr. Mickey Rooney on the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Presents Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tales of suspense, thrills, adventure by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. Portions of this program are transcribed and is brought to you by Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help which reminds you...
Don't ever let headache interfere.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Herbert Rawlinson. Welcome to the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tonight we give you a story of bizarre revenge and subtle murder. And we give you a unique guessing game called Guess for Your Life. So play this deadly and dramatic game with us. Who knows? You may win a valuable prize. You may live. Here is Mickey Rooney in Knee High to a Corpse.
To be a very limited height. However, the same height of mine they found so funny came in very handy at times. Like when there were important stores to rob, it was a simple matter to boost me to a transom and let me crawl through, or maybe a ventilator or the like. But they never appreciated me. Not that this is what I was looking for. All I wanted was to be let alone. I had my reading matter and I had my job, but they wouldn't let me alone. Whenever one of them got bored, they would humiliate me and they would embarrass me. They'd either start in on my limited height or my choice of reading matter, which are fairy tales of Grimm and Andersen. You don't have to laugh. What about plenty of grown-up people who read comic books? Anyhow, this night in question, it was in the hotel room before we pulled our last big job. I was sitting in a corner reading. Johnny and Deck were playing two-handed poker. Laura was just walking.
That's enough for me. $300 in the hole is enough. And what time is it?
6:30, Johnny.
Yeah, we got plenty of time. Hours. How about some coffee and sandwiches, huh?
How about it?
I'm hungry.
Hey, Inch. Inch.
You call me Dick?
Coffee and sandwiches.
Oh, thank you. I don't care for
any. I'm not asking you, do you want any? I'm telling you, go get them.
Oh, I wasn't paying any attention. I didn't get the drift.
You're so stupid, wrapped up in those kids' stories. When are you going to grow up, Inch?
You don't get the drift, Johnny. They got underlying meanings, fairy tales. They aren't just kid stuff. Like take the Mother Goose nursery rhymes. They got deep underlying
coffee
meanings.
Coffee and sandwiches, Inch.
Any particular kind of sandwiches?
Yeah. Make mine a Prince Charming special.
Johnny, leave him be.
Get going, Abba Dabba. Abba Dabba and the 40 Thieves. Get going, I said.
Right now, I'll just get my coat on.
Ride that carpet, shorty.
Rub that magic lamp.
Oh, now cut it out, the both of you.
I don't mind, Laura. They just don't happen to realize.
Wait, I'll go with you.
What's the idea?
I want to get a lipstick.
Okay. Take your time. But hurry.
something, Lois?
What?
I know what shade of lipstick he used.
Yeah, that's right.
And the mare perfume?
Well, now that's really something.
You know what an emer is?
You and your Arabian Nights.
That's right. You're smart. You're really smart.
Not for my size, I'm not. Now you, it's different.
Laura, when they make fun about my height and my choice of reading matter and you laugh, are you laughing at me because you don't like me, Laura?
Of course not, Inch. I like you or I wouldn't laugh.
That's very nice, Laura. That makes me kind of happy. Thanks a lot.
Don't mention it, Inch.
All of a sudden, from her, I don't mind it being called small names. We got to the drugstore, and I went to the lunch counter to get the sandwiches and coffee, and Laura went over to the cosmetic. She was very pretty, Laura was. Tall, blonde, and very pretty. Beautiful. And kind, too. She reminded me of the beautiful ladies in the Elder Tree Mother and the Marsh King's Daughter. In a minute, she was back. Oh, she was so beautiful.
Hey, what are you drinking there?
It's chocolate ice cream soda. I ordered one for you, too.
For heaven's sake. A regular high school date, huh?
Oh, no, look, Laura, I'm not getting fresh or anything.
Fresh? I think it's real sweet.
Dick mightn't like not me sitting around with you like this, though.
Jack don't own me. You're not afraid of Jack, are you?
No. No, I'm not afraid of him. Of
course you're not. Size ain't everything. You, ever been in love?
Huh?
In love?
No, not... No, I never been. I never...
You know, you're cute, Inch. I like you. I always did.
Is that straight, Laura?
Don't you like me, Inch?
Look, Laura, Dick is a pal of mine.
He don't own me, does he?
No. I can't cross Dick.
So you're afraid of him?
Laura, don't talk that way. Dick could kill you if he heard you talk that way. I ain't never got pressure out of line or anything. What am I going to do?
You fool! You five-size fool!
Laura? Laura? You were kidding me, Laura. You didn't want me.
What? Oh, my God. What would I want with you? Oh, my God.
Laura, don't. Everybody's looking at me. Don't, Laura. Stop laughing at me, please.
Who's laughing? I'm dying.
Laura, don't. Stop laughing. Stop laughing. Stop laughing. Stop. I didn't either. I told you I wasn't. Stop laughing. All of you, stop laughing at me. Stop it.
Okay. Stop. Okay, dwarf. I don't want trouble with you. You might hurt me. You're so strong for your height. Now, Inch, I want you to repeat after me very carefully. I am sorry, Laura, for getting out of line.
Oh. I'm sorry, Laura, for getting out of line.
The whole thing now.
Sorry, Laura, for getting out of line.
And from now on, I will read my simpleton fairy tales and stay out of big people's business. Say it.
No, I'll read my simpleton fairy tales, and I'll
say it.
Big people's business.
Check and double check.
You didn't have to hit the runner.
I didn't have to.
You didn't have to knock him kicking.
No, I just wanted to. How much time we got before we tap that ball, Johnny?
About an hour.
Now, let's go down and get up to the air. Laura?
Yeah, all right. What about Inch?
Hench.
I don't like beer.
You like chocolate sodas.
Come on. You punks. You punks. Punks. You don't even know my right name. Laughing. I wish you were all dead and buried. I wish somebody come and pour boiling oil on top of you like Alabama to the 40 thieves.
That's what I wish. And if I wish hard, it comes true. Because that's the way it is.
I never held anything against nobody in my life. Live and let live, that's my motto. Sure, I hated Johnny and Dick and Laura after the way they had humiliated me. Who wouldn't? What happened the night we pulled our last big job was just peculiar. I was just a victim of circumstances, that's all. So were they. There was over $100,000 worth of fur pelts in the refrigerator vault we were knocking off that night. I led us into the building with my bunch of keys. And we went into the dark building. So far, so easy.
All right. Buzz the service elevator. Cover your face, Johnny. Back out of sight, Inch.
Okay, Dick. So like I was told, I ducked behind the barrel and waited. The elevator was on the way down. Deck and Johnny were pressed on each side of the doors while Laura stood in front of it. The doors opened. The watchman flashed a light in Laura's face.
Who are you?
Excuse me. My name is Edith Hopkins. I was...
How'd you get in here?
Easy, buddy. Quiet, does it?
Yeah, just a minute. What is
it? I don't want to have to knock you out, Pop. We're going to take good care of you, but we don't want to have to knock you out. Do you catch?
Deck kept his gun in the old man's back. And just as Laura began with the rope, something terrible happened. I happened to put my hand down on the ground, and something big and warm and furry ran over. Ah!
A rat!
You dumb dwarf!
A rat ran over my hand, a dirty rat! As big as a toad!
Shut up!
Don't hit me, Deck!
Shut up!
Shut up!
He hit me real hard and sent me sprawling all over the floor. I look up. I saw the watchman looking at me. Looking at me hard so he'd remember to the police. I felt sick. I knew Deck. Deck wouldn't stop at anything now. He needed me, but he didn't need that watchman. I felt sick.
Well, Pop, I guess it's gonna be the hard way.
You wouldn't do anything like that to me.
Step aside, Laura.
Well, I'm an old man. Don't do that to me. I'm an old...
Deck, that's dirty work.
Shut up. Drag him in the elevator and let's get moving. Well, there she is. 100,000 clams are waiting on the other side of that steel door. She's your baby, Pee-wee.
You got your pad and pencil, Laura?
I'm waiting, Shorty.
I'll write these numbers down as I give them to you. Wait a minute. Turn this...
Twelve, twenty-nine, eight, fifteen.
I'll play around with them a bit, though.
Watch out for wires.
Don't worry.
Never mind, don't worry. Just watch it.
Quiet, will you? Please, Dick. I'm doing this fast. It's close. It's close, I can tell. There she is.
Good. All right, now beat it. Fine, get lost for half an hour. This is for adults.
It was some vault. Inside there was a desk and steel files and an intercom and everything. A regular office.
Get going, I said. And if you pull any more bonus or help me, I'll slit you in two and throw you down the elevator shaft.
Oh, let it be.
There was a little red light over the fire exit, and I sat down on the floor against the door and pulled out my little book of fairy tales and started reading. Only in that light, the pages seemed all red, like the watchman's blood. Opening up Grimm's fairy tales for the Arabian Nights is like taking a trip to the moon, to another world full of magic where everything happens just right, and ugly turtles and dwarves, they turn out to be handsome princes, and things are just right. They got deep underlying meanings, really. I must have read them 1,000 times. Gee, I wish I could always be a kid again, and everybody could just be so happy. Anyhow, I was reading again about Rumpelstiltskin. You remember about the little dwarf who was going to take the queen's baby girl away if she didn't guess his name? It's one of my very favorite stories, when all of a sudden I hear this slapping on the vault doors. The next room, I jump up and run in the big room. The vault door was closed. Something automatic I hadn't figured on had closed the door again. They were inside. I could hear Dex's voice coming out like over a telephone or something.
Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I'm talking over the intercom on the desk in here. Can you hear me? Yes, find the intercom. It must be around someplace. Now find it.
I got it, Deck. I hear you. You hear me, Deck?
I hear you. Good boy, good boy.
Polish, am I going to give you a husband, this little man?
Little man.
Listen, do you remember the combination, Ed?
No, but I could play around though. I found it again, Jack.
Oh, I've got to sit down. I'll read it to you in daytime. It's getting close. Hear me, Shorty?
I hear you.
Shorty.
All right, get on the ball, Squirt.
Squirt.
Are you ready? Inch.
Inch. Pee-wee.
Squirt.
Little man.
Hey, Half-Pint, it's getting hot in here. Get moving.
Inch. Inch, where are you? You've got to go away from something.
Shut up, boss. Inch, are you there?
I'm here, Deck. I'm here.
Well, what's keeping you then? Get moving, you hear?
Deck?
Yeah?
Today I bake, tomorrow I brew, my dear.
What?
The next day I will bring the queen's child here.
You gone nuts or something?
Ah, lucky 'tis not a soul doth know that Rumpelstiltskin is my name. Ho, ho.
Let me talk. Inch, what's the matter? Open the safe. Inch, open the safe.
I'll open the safe.
Attaboy.
Please.
On one condition, Dick.
What do you mean?
If you tell me my right name.
What?
Your name? Answer your name.
No, Dick, that's not my name. That's what you call me. I have another name, a real name that my father and my mother gave me. This is the name you must discover. Nothing that easy, Lord.
Leo? Is it Leo? Richard? Eric? Tom? Jerry? Ash?
No. No.
Al?
What's that?
Al, is it Al?
No.
Al?
No, it's not cold.
What is it?
Try the bees.
Bertie.
No.
Phil?
Ben.
No, you...
Brad. Bradley.
No.
Brad.
Sorry.
What is it, then? What is it? Tell her!
Guess some more. Remember, Laura said no before.
I can't breathe anymore. I can't breathe. You did that. That stupid.
Yes. You know what, Peter? I have to shoot Laura, do you? Shoot. Laura.
You shot the watchman?
Crime of murder is governed by the same laws and the same punishment as first-degree murder.
But, Your Honor,
you have been found guilty of complicity in the murder of James Cavanaugh, the night watchman. Arlington Elks, you will be remanded to the custody of the warden at the state...
Arlington Elks!
During the week of May 9th...
Arlington Elks!
God have mercy on you.
Arlington Elks! Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mickey, we love you for that. It was great.
Thanks, Herb. And thanks, Sandra Gould and Bill Conrad, Junius Matthews, Shepard Menken, and Paul McVeigh. Thanks.
Thanks again, Mickey. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce Mr. Frank Lovejoy, the star of next week's play. And now, here is Norman Brokenshire.
Thank you, Herb. A wonderful story. Say there, neighbors, earlier in the program, I reminded you when you're taking your vacation... Never let headache interfere. Always keep Bromo Seltzer handy. Well, now that goes for a weekend trip, too, because you never know when a headache is going to strike. But if you've got Bromo Seltzer on hand, you're ready to fight a headache fast and effectively at all times, all three ways. These three ways. Bromo Seltzer gives you speedy help for the pain of the headache itself. by neutralizing the excess stomach acidity, Bromo Seltzer gives you soothing relief from the upset stomach. And it quiets those edgy nerves. Does it so pleasantly, too, because Bromo Seltzer is refreshing to take. So whether you're going away for a week or a weekend, don't ever let headache interfere. Keep Bromo Seltzer handy for fast, effective, three-way headache help. Bromo Seltzer is on sale at all drugstores. Put a bottle in your grip before you take that trip. Yes, get Bromo Seltzer and...
Don't ever let headache interfere.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Mickey Rooney can soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, The Strip, and is soon to star for Columbia Pictures, the Technicolor musical, Sound Off. Tonight's play was written especially for Mr. Rooney by Frank DeFelita and Muppet Peter, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production was under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Mr. Frank Lovejoy.
Believe me, a cabbie driving the midnight shift learns pretty quick how to handle anything that comes up. Anything. And plenty does come up, I know. But what I didn't learn quick enough was that the only way to avoid crime and corruption, yes, and death, was by minding my business.
Thanks, Frank. And the title of next week's story is Minding My Business. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Portions of the program were transcribed. And now this is Herbert Rawlinson saying goodnight for all of us here on the Hollywood Star Playhouse. And from Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help in the familiar blue bottle.
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.